Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So some of you were at the United Methodist Men's Dinner on Tuesday night. We had a great meal from Betty Lopez. Thank you, Betty, for filling our bellies. And then we had Jay Ataka, who came and gave us an informative time about our vehicles. If you don't know about Jay, Jay has, I think the statistic he gave us is that he's inspected and test-driven 60,000 vehicles at this point. And so he knows a little bit of something about cars. And so he was talking to us about how we take care of our cars. And so here's our interactive portion. What are some ways that we take care of our cars? Change the oil, and how often do we change our oil? The most I'm hearing is every 3,000 miles. That used to be at every 3,000 miles or every 3 months, right? But now some say 5,000 miles, some say 10,000 miles. The thing, if you were here Tuesday, you learned is it's whatever your owner's manual says, because it goes by your vehicle of what you're supposed to do. All right, oil changes, we take care of those regularly when we need them. What else do we do for our vehicles? We put gas in them. Is there anybody that doesn't have to put gas in their car? Any totally electric vehicle owners? All right, so we all have to go to the gas station and dump out half of our paycheck into it. What else do we do? Air in the tires. Some people say they wash their car. I proclaim mine's dirty because I'm being kind to the drought environment, okay? Really, it's just I don't take the time and I don't feel like spending the money. All right, we wash our cars. What else do we do for our vehicles? What's that? Check the water. You got to have water in the vehicle. Brakes, got to take care of those brakes, right? Anything else? Rotate the tires. What else did I hear back here? Smog. Hey, that one didn't come up at 8 o'clock. Smog, insurance, we got to have insurance on that vehicle. We have our ways that we take care of our cars. We pay attention to the miles and the months. We pay attention when those maintenance lights come off. I got really surprised back in November. I've got one of those screens on my van, and usually it tells me maintenance is due, and I'll see how long I can go until I get to the oil change or whatnot. But it kind of shocked me when all of a sudden one day it wasn't maintenance due, it was go to the dealership and check brakes immediately. I was like, whoa, what is going on here? Well, Doug was out of town, and so I said, Doug, I'm going to Toyota, which is where our car's from, because it's telling me I have to go right now. Oh, no, when I get home from my trip, I've got the stuff, I'll do it. No, Doug, it says immediately. Who won, do you think? Doug, who's saying I'll take care of it when I get back, or me that's saying I'm taking it to the dealership today? Pastor. Me. Well, he's a pastor also. I won because I don't want my brakes going out. What happens if my brakes go out? I can get into a crash. I can get hurt. My kids can get hurt. Somebody else can get hurt. And that's most of the reason we take such good care of our vehicles, right? We take care of them because we need them. We don't want them to break down and we get stranded. We don't want something to happen that causes an accident. We need them to be reliable. We need to take care of them because we've got an investment and we want it to last as long as possible, right? We rotate our tires because we want to get the most use out of our tires before we have to change them again. So we take care of our vehicles because we need them so much and we need them to run well. And there's a lot of other things in life that are the same way of how we take care of them. The maintenance that we do to the place that we live, to our computers, to our other things that we have. We take care of them because we need them to be reliable because we depend on them. Well, here we go, folks, because as we talk about New Year's resolutions, today we talk about how we take care of our physical bodies. That great New Year's resolution that so many people take, this year I'm gonna get healthy. This year I'm gonna go to the gym. This year I'm gonna lose this much weight. This year I'm gonna do this for my body, right? Because the majority of us When we look, we can say, yeah, I can be doing better at how I take care of ourselves. But this is probably the most broken resolution, is the one that takes care of our physical selves. Because if we look at it, the majority of us would probably be able to say, I take better care of my vehicle than I take care of myself. I pay attention to what kind of gas needs to go into it, and I give it what it needs. I pay attention to what kind of oil and what kind of tires, but I don't pay as good of attention as to what my body says needs to go into it, what needs to be taken care of it, that I don't always pay attention to those maintenance lights that say, hey, I need a checkup. Hey, there's something going on here, and I need it looked at and taken care of. We put our bodies second on the list, and we don't take care of it quite as much as we should. And this is a topic that we don't often talk in the church, that we don't often look at our physical selves. But as we look at our scripture today, we see that our physical bodies, our physical beings, are just as important to God as our spiritual beings. As we get into Paul today, as he's talking to the First Corinthians, Paul, who has this incredible job that he's taken on, this mission for God to start God's church, to be going from town to town, starting church after church. If you look at the route that he took, if you look at Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth, and Galatia, if you look at all these places, it wasn't short distances, and he didn't get to jump into a car or onto a bus to go to them. Paul had to do a huge amount of walking, and it was a physical, emotional, strenuous job that he was doing, and he needed a physical body to be able to do it. And so here he's preaching to the Corinthians, and he's relating his physical care to a race. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but how many get the prize? One. I mean, we think about it today as we look at this. Today is the Super Bowl, right? Got that right, yeah. Okay, today is the Super Bowl. And all of those teams, however many teams there are in the whole NFL, they've been training since last year, training physically, training on the field, training as they strategize plays and memorize playbooks. They have going through strenuous, stressful, strict training to try to win this Super Bowl. And at the end of today, only one season will matter, only one team will be lifted, and only one team will get a trophy. They've worked for it, but only one team will get it. But Paul says, don't go to training in such a way that you try to be that one that gets that physical, earthly prize. But he says, run and train in such a way to get a prize that lasts forever. You see, he lifts up and recognizes that the prize of all prizes in this life is our salvation that comes through Christ. That life that's lived with God, that life that says, I am yours, and I live this life for you. Because a day in a life that's lived for God, that lives following his call, that lives with his Holy Spirit in it, is a day that receives a prize like none other. A day that receives God's blessing, and there is nothing like that. No trophy, no medal, no certificate can compare to what we get in that. And so Paul says we go into that kind of training. But as he goes into that and he talks about that prize, he says everyone who competes goes into strict training. They do it to get that crown that will not last, but we do it to a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. You see, because that's in some ways, those athletes do just that. And sometimes we're doing that in life. When we're going into strict training and we're doing things, but we don't necessarily know exactly what for. Or I look at it with these great athletes, with these bodies that are at the peak physical shape that they could be, Some of those athletes that are out there that whose bodies have been perfected in what they need them to be for that game. But then we look at them once they retire, once they're out of that game and they don't have the purpose of that trophy or that championship to live for, and their bodies transform into something that's not nearly as perfect. They just did an entire season of that on Biggest Loser, of former athletes that had been in their prime, and once they lost that goal of a championship, lost their goal of keeping their bodies in shape. But Paul says, now do it for something that lasts, something that can't tarnish, something that can't carry dust, something that cannot be taken away. And he says, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. Assess your life and think for a second. Have you made your body your slave that you are in control of? Or is your body in control of you? If we think about it, the way that we treat our physical body, is it in the way that Paul says earlier in this chapter, like I told the kids? Because back in chapter 6, Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. He's talking about the way they're acting with their bodies and the things that they're choosing to do, and he's saying, that is sinful that you're doing. What it is that you're putting into them, the way that you're choosing to use them, he says, is not worshiping of God. And so we have to sit and think. The way that we choose to eat, what it is that we're putting into it, how much we're putting into it, are we assessing and doing that in the same way that we assess what we put into our vehicles? Do we think about what's best for our bodies and what they need to give us the energy, to give us the nutrition, to keep us strong and healthy? Are we physically exercising to the capability that we have to maintain these bodies? I mean, there's a couple people in this congregation that I catch walking and I see them. And I think that that's so amazing that they're out there daily walking and doing their exercise. And then I eventually learned that both of them that I can think of off the top of my head are into their 90s and out there walking. And I think, well, I know how you made it this far, how you've got this strong, healthy body in your 90s because of the disciplined way that you've been treating it. That we enslave it and we say, I only get one body. I can replace my car, I can replace my house, I can replace my computer. All those physical things are replaceable if I don't care for them well enough. But my body is not replaceable. I can't turn it in for a newer model if I let this one go. If I clog it up and it fails me, this is what I have. And God says, this is my gift that I give to you. I created it in my image to be my place of worship, and I need you to treat it as such. And some of us think it's out of our control. And there's a lot of these things in the world that are out of our control. The weather is not in our control. What happens on the news is not in our control. What people are doing around us is not in our control. You know, when I look at it, I'll admit, it is not in my control that there are people who think because I'm as thin as I am that I must have an eating disorder. Oh, believe me, they've said it to my face and I've heard it behind my back and I've had people come up to me, hey, you know, such and such asked me if I see you eat because they don't think that you eat, that that must be how you're so skinny. And I'll tell you, when I hear that, it cuts into me and it hurts that people would believe that I would do that to my body, that I would treat it in that way, that it isn't a genetic thing, that this is just the curse that I have, and I consider this a curse. I don't have control of what they think. I don't have control of how they see me, but I have control of what I see when I look in the mirror. I have control and the ability to see of what I don't like. I could say, I don't like this. This is not what I consider to be perfect. This is not what I consider to be how I would like to look. Or I can have the control to look in the mirror and say, that's God's creation. That's God's temple. And what I do with it is worthy and honorable. I have control to be able to look at the end of the day and say, I took care of this body. I ate what I was supposed to eat to the best that I could. Maybe I cheated today on Super Bowl, but tomorrow I did really well. I can look at it and say, you know, I'm not capable of running a marathon today, but I can walk around the block. I can say, you know, I did sit and watch television, but I grabbed 2 soup cans and I exercised while I was watching. I can say I did what I could to take care of what God gave me. Because this is what God has blessed me with. And each of us needs to look at it with pride, that I doubt there's very many of us in here that say how we look is perfect and there isn't something that we would change about ourselves. But God says it's not about physical looks. He says, what I see is my child, and what I see is a reflection of me, and that is perfect. But God also says, take care of it. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. God has a way that he's using each one of us. God has a need for us to be a presence in this world, to be a witness of who he is and what prize we receive through him. And if us not physically taking care of ourselves, if us not making the intentional decisions that give the strongest and longest life to this body possible, then we cheat God out of years of service through us. We cheat God out of years of his Holy Spirit being present in us. And I don't want to cheat years out of my car. Why would I ever want to cheat years off of my life with things that are changeable and things that are in my control? I pray that this year, that looking at how you physically take care of yourself, of how well you eat, of how you exercise, that it cannot be a New Year's resolution about how you look, but that it can be a revelation of what God needs from you and how God will empower you to be able to do that. It doesn't mean take a crash diet. It doesn't mean do something crazy or try to lift 1,000,000 weights today, but to do a little bit each day, to be a little healthier, to take care of you a little bit better, so that you can add years of service, praise, and glory in God's name to your life and to each day. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this life that you have blessed us with, that you breathed into us your Holy Spirit, that you put into us a plan and a purpose that you had for this life, and you gave us this one body to be able to do it. We admit that it isn't always what we want it to be. We admit that there's days that it aches more than we would want it to, that it doesn't always look the way that we want it to, and it doesn't always do what we want it to do. But Lord, we pray this morning that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will help us to take care of this temple that you have built, this body that you have created to be your dwelling place on this earth. Help us to see how we can make steps in the right direction to taking care of our bodies even better than we take care of our stuff. For we know we have but one life, a gift from you, and we desire to treat it just as that. for it is in your most holy name that we live and that we pray. Amen.